Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Not much going on in the sports world unless you're like me and you're a fan of the four majors in tennis. We've got Wimbledon action right now on ESPN and ESPN2. It's the summer of soccer in the States with the Gold Cup, USA wins in PKs, and the FIFA Club World Cup with knockout rounds continuing today in North America. We've got Major League Baseball as well, but we got about 3.5 weeks still until Commanders training camp. In fact, the rookies will report July 18th and July 22nd. Everybody will be in the building. The big question is, will Terry McLaurin be there? I'm not going to get worried until July 11th. After that date, I'll start to get worried, but he did this 3 years ago when he wanted his extension and missed minicamp that was mandatory, but then did arrive on time for the start of training camp, and I just think he's too good of a person to put this season in jeopardy at all with him no-showing for training camp. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. What are the biggest Commanders red flags? That's the question of the day on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready for some?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Call Stubb and get on the line. You can chime in. What are the Commanders' biggest red flags? Biff is our intern for the summer. You guys, just like myself, want the Commanders to have success. As a station, we want the Commanders to be good. We're proud to be the home of the Commanders here in Richmond. But we want to take like a devil's advocate approach to this segment. What are the Commanders' biggest red flags? 833-804-0910. I'm one of the biggest Commanders fans you'll meet. Football team fans, Redskins fans, the skinny skins, make or break my week. I live and die by every snap, every game. And this past season was the best ride of my life, from 4-13 to 12 wins. Two postseason wins, concluding with a trip to the NFC Championship game for the first time in my life. And I've claimed that this is the most important offseason in franchise history. You have to build off of that success. You have to build off the 12 wins. You have to build off of Jaden's rookie year while he's under that rookie contract. In my mind, you have to do everything to get back-to-back postseason appearances, because that's how you eventually break through, is by making it to the dance every year. And we've struggled to get into the postseason back-to-back. You have to be aggressive. I wanted us to be one of the most aggressive teams this offseason to make sure that Jaden Daniels has better talent around him, better weapons, and a cleaner pocket. And I'm here to tell you, I believe that Adam Peters has done all of that. Adam Peters improved the offensive line. Adam Peters brought in a better left tackle. Adam Peters added more weapons like Deebo Samuel and an improved defense. But the one thing that he can't control is it's a more difficult schedule. And Washington will not be the hunters anymore. They will be the hunted. I think Washington can get between 9 wins and 13 wins. But they got to get off to a good start. And they need to stay healthy. Several insiders believe the Commanders are primed to regress, to take a step back. You won 12 games. You won a lot of close games. This year you will lose the close games. Jaden Daniels to have a sophomore slump like a C.J. Stroud, and the defense to continue to struggle without a star pass rusher. What are the Commanders' biggest red flags? 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Let's take a listen to this discussion on the Junks this morning via the Odyssey app.
I'm going to say their big red flag is the running back room. I have not seen this list. I don't know exactly what they're spotlighting for the Commanders. But if it's something that's a little off board, I think the easy answer is pass rush and or offensive line, which are two big problems that the Commanders tried to remedy during the offseason. I'm going to go running back room, that they're not sold on it.
All right, I'm with you. I went with the obvious, which was pass rush, because they lost Dante Fowler Jr.
Right.
He was the only guy who had double-digit sacks for them. He's gone. They really didn't replace him. They brought in Javon Kinlaw, but he's more of a big guy, run stuffer, who some people project to be an elephant end, whatever that is, in the system. Jason, what do you think the Commanders' red flag is? Not necessarily what is CBS Sports predicting, but what do you think is their biggest red flag? And if you chime in, again, 1-800-636-1067. What's the Commanders' biggest red flag?
Biggest
red
flag.
And then I'll tell you what CBS Sports says.
I'm going to say it's... We talked about this last week. I'm going to say it's age.
If they're just an old roster.
Just an older team.
Yeah.
Jason, you're kind of all over it.
What is the Commander's biggest red flag? I think it's the veterans. I think it's you're betting on Bobby Wagner being as good, Zach Ertz being as good, Austin Ekeler being as good. Some of the veterans you brought in at cornerback, like Jonathan Jones, weren't even that good last year. You've got an older roster with a very young quarterback, and that's, I think, the biggest red flag in my mind is, like, Zach Ertz, I don't think he can do what he did again. Bobby Wagner, I don't think he can do what he did again. Same with Austin Ekeler. That's probably the biggest red flag for me. If you want to chime in, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. I've got a few other red flags that I've listed. I want to go behind the glass to Biff and Stubb. What is the Commander's biggest red flag? 833-804-0910. I think it is the amount of veterans. I think it is the age of some of the players on the team.
I'm going to go with run defense. The edge is not great. We're down Jonathan Allen. It remains to be seen. Johnny
Newton. But are you going to lose games with a bad run defense? Because our run defense was awful last year, and we only lost five times.
To the Eagles, right? That's the biggest thing we got to get over is the Eagles. So if their best thing is the run, then, yeah, that's a red flag to me.
Yeah, and it is a red flag that it was a bad problem last year, and they didn't really fix it with anyone that's of name. Dietrich Wise means a name to Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, right? Javon Kinlaw means a lot to them. We don't know enough about them to feel like it's not a red flag. How about you, Biff?
Yeah, I mean, this is tough. The first word that came to mind was consistency. I worry about if we can play the best of the best football-wise every single week in, week out, because last year we didn't. And we talked about all those close games, and it became, and people like to use the word luck, which I don't think I would say it's luck. But like we said, we see CJ and Daniels is probably going to have a sophomore year slump. That doesn't mean he's going to play bad. We worry about the age. We worry about the D-line. So I want to see how consistency, maybe even in the coaching staff as well, how we can win. Can we continue to win tight games, close games, and if we can continue to beat the good teams of the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, with consistency, I would point to the difficulty of the schedule, right? I put one of my biggest red flags is the new kicker. We don't know a tremendous amount about Matt Gay. We know that he wasn't on Indianapolis anymore, right? So I just think in a team where, you know, last year we had five games at the end of the year that were close. We had to win on the final play. We had about probably eight games overall that were within one score, including the Hail Mary, the win over the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a guy that's only 83% regular season field goal percentage. That's 28th in the league for place kickers. Last year in the final five games, he was, you know, perfect, but how was he throughout the entire season? He could not really hit beyond 50 yards. Well, the guy we had last year couldn't hit beyond 50 yards. Did we really upgrade over Seibert and Gonzalez with Matt Gay? To me, it's a bit of a red flag. The sketchy secondary. And then, like Cake said, I do think one of the biggest red flags has to be you don't have an elite running back. Can you win 10-plus games? Can you win a playoff game? Can you win your division without an elite running back? You know, we're all kind of hoping and maybe assuming that an improved offensive line will mean improved Brian Robinson, an improved Eckler, an improved rushing attack with Jaden Daniels and Deebo Samuel. But is that going to be the case when the regular season gets here and the difficult schedule with more difficult defenses comes in and we're not able to run the ball? And we're relying on Jaden Daniels throwing the ball 30-plus times every game, and that could in hand lead to a sophomore slump. If Washington's not able to establish the run, Jaden will slump, because there will be too much pressure for him to throw the ball downfield accurately and on a consistent basis. The way to avoid the sophomore slump is Brian Robinson being a 1,000-yard back. Do we have an elite running back? A lot of people would say no. I believe in Brian Robinson. His stats aren't elite right now. So you have to kind of hope that an improved offensive line is enough to make our no elite running back be at least a competent enough running back to win games. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. What are the biggest red flags for the Washington Commanders? Sports Illustrated posted their biggest red flag for the Washington Commanders. It's kind of interesting. It's not Terry McLaurin won't play. It's not Terry McLaurin contracts will get ugly. It's that they don't believe he will replicate what he did last season. The 29-year-old who scored 13 touchdowns and had 1,000 yards. And I'm kind of understanding where they're coming from, because I said that as well. As great as Jaden Daniels' rookie season was with Terry McLaurin, was that the best of them throwing to each other? Because Terry might get less targets with Deebo Samuel. He might get less targets if Luke McCaffrey pops, or if Jalen Lane pops, or if what we're talking about is comes true, which is the rushing attack improves, so you get less pass attempts from Jaden Daniels, and in return, less yards from Terry McLaurin. They say the biggest red flag is that Terry McLaurin can't replicate what he did last year. And I kind of think they're right. If you want to chime in, 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. It's burger night, back like it never left, back better than before. Get a cheeseburger for $2.95, or add bacon and beer cheese like I like to do. That's 3 p.m. to midnight, any of the three Capitol Ale House locations. I'm in Innsbruck. You can come to Midlothian or downtown Capitol Ale House. Burger night, Mondays, back like it never left. It's time for the Commander's Corner here on AWOD Radio. Take your phone calls, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. What are the Commanders' biggest red flags going into the season? We didn't talk about this, but, you know, I mentioned how Sports Illustrated said one of the biggest red flags is Terry McLaurin not being able to run it back. Well, how about Deebo Samuel? Is he a red flag? Is he a green flag? What are you expecting from Deebo Samuel this season? Stubb, what are your expectations for Deebo Samuel? I'll tell you why I'm asking in a second.
Me or Biff?
Either one of you.
All right. I think I have pretty high expectations for Deebo Samuel. I think maybe like 800 yards between passing and rushing, less than Terry, but I still think he's absolutely going to be a difference maker and much better as like a wide receiver too than anyone we had last season.
Yeah. Biff?
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. I mean, I'll tell you this, and 100% confident, he'll be better than last year. The 670 yards or something like that he got last year, I think he'll get more than that. Like you said, Stubb, obviously I want him to be the 1,000-yard rushing or receiving yards, but I can't put that too high expectations. But, yeah, I think he'll be a green flag. I don't think he'll ever be a red flag because of how good this Washington offense has been last year. So I'm expecting him green flag, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe it could kind of go a little yellow flag.
I'm expecting a fantastic season from Deebo Samuel. He hears the haters, and he heard from another one this weekend as a future Hall of Famer takes a shot at him. Terrell Owens takes a shot at Deebo Samuel's weight. I love it. He says he is fat. He's about 2 chicken nuggets from tipping the scale. Jeez. That's what Terrell Owens said about Deebo Samuel. Please, bring on as many haters as possible. I think it could make Deebo Samuel a top receiver in the NFL. He is going to play angry. We've all known he's a little bit of a chunky receiver. It's what makes him so great, and it's what makes him so special. It's what makes him so great at breaking tackles. Are we going to get a 2021 version of Deebo Samuel? No, we're not. But I don't think he's completely removed from that aspect of his game, in which he had 77 catches, which was top 5, for 1,405 yards, which was top 5, with 6 touchdowns, with a long of 83 yards, with a 50-yard catch and run, with incredible catching percentage, with a ton of yards after catch, which was actually number 1 in the National Football League at yards after catch. 2021 was 4 years ago, but I don't think we've seen Deebo Samuel get the amount of targets as that season since they've added Christian McCaffrey, since they added Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, and Brock Purdy took a step back. And so that's why I think we're going to see a version of Deebo Samuel that's more similar to 2021 than 2024 when he was with the San Francisco 49ers this past season. I just think Deebo Samuel's going to come to life here for Washington and jump on the bandwagon now and jump off the hate, because the hate is going to look stupid when the regular season gets here. I mean, look, this is a guy that has dealt with this hate for years now, right? I mean, it was almost since that 2021 season. Everybody's called him overrated, and he's just continued to work at his craft. And he got paid the money he wanted to get paid, and he decided with the 49ers he didn't want to be as much used in the rushing attack. Well, I think it's going to be involved in the rushing attack a ton this season for Washington, as you probably will see less receptions, less yards from 2021. But I think you're going to see more than you got last year. This version of Deebo Samuel last year, 51 catches for 670 yards and 3 touchdowns, that would make you think he's washed. But there were so many factors that went into that. They didn't have their running back. The defense was awful, and they were giving up big leads, and so they had to come from behind. And Brock Purdy was, like, not a good quarterback last year. And so I think that all that plays into the fact why Deebo Samuel took a step back. I mean, Purdy had 12 interceptions. And, you know, a few of those might have been passes that were headed towards Deebo Samuel, but somebody jumped in front of. He had 3 multi-interception games, and you can't win when that happens. They lost to the Cardinals 24-23. They don't lose that game if he doesn't have 2 sacks or 2 interceptions. He had 3 against the Chiefs. They were in that game until the fourth quarter, and he had 2 in the loss of the season, the Lions 40-34, that they would not have lost that game if it wasn't for his 2 interceptions. And so, you know, this was a 49ers team that struggled throughout the season, But I think a lot of the struggles came down to the quarterback play and the defensive side of the ball struggling. And so I'm expecting with a better quarterback, Deebo Samuel will get back to the numbers that he had earlier in his career. Maybe not top that 2021, but I think it'll look more similar to that 2021 season than anything we saw in the past 3 years with the 49ers. Again, he was not like the number one. He was the number one target for them, but there were just so many good receivers on that team that the ball had to get spread around, and so you had this inconsistency in terms of the targets. Like, he had 9 targets against the Dolphins, 96 yards and a touchdown. That's still the Deebo Samuel we all want to see. Well, then why did he only get 3 targets against the Bears and 2 catches for 22 yards? Why did he get 0 targets in one game this year and only 1 catch against the Cardinals? Because the ball was getting spread around to others, and it was like defenses were keying in on stopping Deebo Samuel. I don't think that's going to be the case when you have Jaden, Terry McLaurin, Zach Ertz you got to keep an eye on. To go along with Deebo Samuel and Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane. So I'm expecting Deebo Samuel to get to 1,000 yards all-purpose this year. I would be pretty surprised if he doesn't. Not in the passing game, but in terms of, look, in the last 5 years, he's averaged 240 yards on the ground, all right? And in the last 5 years, he's averaged, when you get rid of that 2021, he's averaged about 600 to 700 yards. So the combination of his receiving and rushing should make him in 1,000 yards all-purpose weapon for Washington and Jaden Daniels. And I mean, it's just my favorite move of the offseason. Bring on the haters. Please, Terrell Owens, tell more people how you think he's 2 chicken nuggets away from tipping the scale. Because I know he hears that, he reads that, and it's just motivation. It's bulletin board material for a guy who's still 29, still in the prime of his NFL career. Still in the prime. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Washington Nationals. And yesterday, James Wood became the first Major League Baseball player to be walked 4 times in a game since Barry Bonds. James Wood, Barry Bonds, used in the same sentence. The 22-year-old has the 6 most home runs in all of baseball. He's just been mashing this season at the plate for the Washington Nationals. We'll talk a little Nats talk with Ryan Clary, the host of Locked On Nationals, the podcast, when we return here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. It gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. It's radio on the go with the free Odyssey app. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Washington Nationals, who had a good win. Took 11 innings, but they got a dub on Sunday, day off today, before they face off against the Detroit Tigers tomorrow. So took 2 of 3 against the Angels to bring their record to 35-49 on the season, 3 games back of Miami, as I would like Washington to get out of the cellar of the NL East. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline for a little Nats talk from Locked On Nationals, the podcast, it's our buddy Ryan Clary. What's up, Clary?
Adam, how are you, my friend? It is a hot day here in D.C. I can only imagine what it's like in Richmond right now. My God.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the other day it felt like 112 degrees outside. It was a stay inside at all costs situation, and watch some baseball, watch some tennis, or the summer of soccer, because that's all that's going on in the sports world.
Oh, yeah.
So at 35-49, Ryan, what is the grade you'd give the Washington Nationals if you said maybe this is the halfway part of the season?
You know, I'd probably give them a D-plus at this point in time. If you look individually, you can talk about Mackenzie Gore and James Wood and C.J. Abrams and a couple other guys in there. But overall, as a team, Adam, like, they are looking even worse than what they were this past season. Like, they might regress as far as their record goes. So, honestly, just from a team perspective, this is not a good baseball team. They have individually very good talent, like we mentioned. James Wood is going to be an all-star. Mackenzie Gore, who should be an all-star. C.J. Abrams will be in that conversation also. But overall, this team simply cannot string together wins. And really, this past month of June, this was one of the worst months of baseball that I have seen this team play, really probably since maybe 2022. But even then, we could talk about the 2010s. It was an awful month to be a Washington National. So right now, I'd give them a D+. And I really look ahead to the second half, and hopefully they do a lot more.
I can't argue with the D+. It's awful, and it pisses me off to even be behind Miami in the standings. You're so right that there are individual efforts that have been worth talking about. Mackenzie Gore, absolutely worth talking about. C.J. Abrams, finally, right? He's showing consistency at the plate, and what James Wood did this season, spectacular. And I know I want to talk to you about getting walked four times for the first time since Barry Bonds in the majors. But, you know, we talked about this last week. The Nats are struggling. Who is to blame? Who should get the most of the blame pie? The Learners, Mike Rizzo, manager Davey Martinez. What you say, Clary?
So right now I give ownership 60% of that pie. I would say the Learner ownership group right now, like, obviously they are not all in. They might have one foot in the door, but that other foot, it is way out that door at this point. I think it's pretty obvious. Spencer Nussbaum of the Washington Post, he even wrote a story today about how the Nationals are one of the only teams to not have some VR technology, and it costs, like, I know I only say $500,000, but for a billionaire, that's nothing for them. And they're one of the only teams in baseball that do not have that tool. So I think that's just one thing that just kind of goes with this ownership. And on top of the fact that they simply do not spend, they operate as if it's a small market team right now. But then on the other side of the coin, I give Mike Rizzo a good chunk of this blame also. I think Mike Rizzo deserves roughly around 20 to 25% of the blame right now. Listen, I love Mike Rizzo. He's a legend. But he has to start hitting on the first-round picks, and you have to start developing talent in this system. You can also put a little bit of the blame on the ownership with that. Maybe they don't utilize all the tools out there. Maybe they don't spend to get all the right technology in the building to help those guys do their job professionally. But from what I know right now, Mike Rizzo, you got to develop talent. You've done it before. Let's start doing it again. And then also that 15% is Davey Martinez. I think Davey Martinez, listen, like, he's not the best manager in the world. We all know that. He's a legend for 2019, but also you look at it right now, and he's having in-game decisions that are costing this team a lot of wins by sticking with guys like Kiber Ruiz before he was hurt, and guys like Luis Garcia Jr. and kind of fiddling around with this lineup in ways that I simply would not do that with these young players. I just think right now it's a mess, and it starts at the top with the ownership, and then it works its way down to manager David Martinez also.
See, I'm with you on ownership, I'm with you on Martinez, and I'm not with you on Mike Rizzo. He's a legend. He's a legend for the World Series. He's a legend for what he's done to build out this Washington Nationals team that was nothing when they got here, and they were nothing until Mike Rizzo started working his magic behind the scenes, bringing in a lot of talent. So I'm with you on ownership, but to me, I don't know why you're only giving crumbles of the blame pie to Davey Martinez. What has Davey Martinez done that he's supposed to do right? He is supposed to develop the young talent. You have Mackenzie Gore. You have James Wood. You have C.J. Abrams. To me, this is a managerial issue. To me, this is if you had Joe Maddon, if you had one of those top managers, you'd have 45 wins by now, not 35 and 49. You mentioned the issues in the lineup. I've seen base running issues. They always get in out, it feels like, on the base path. And issues with relief pitching and when he goes to the relief pitching and how long he stays with them. To me, like, Davey Martinez should get the biggest part of the blame pie here, Ryan.
No, I don't agree with that. I actually do not agree with that. I think Davey Martinez, listen, Davey Martinez, like, there should be a new manager next season. Do not get me wrong, but you're putting me in a spot where I, like, kind of have to defend him for a little bit here. Player development is on Mike Rizzo. That is under his umbrella. And yes, while you want to see managers and have them do better as far as player development-wise, and yes, they do have a little bit of a part in that development there, but it's really on Mike Rizzo. And if you look at his draft history, Mike Rizzo has not hit first-round picks at a high rate. In just a few weeks, they have the number one overall pick, and of course, this is the one year in quite some time that you're like, We don't know who's going to go number one overall. There really is no clear-cut number one talent. This is probably one of the worst years to have that number one overall pick. But really, look at this farm system. Like, yeah, you've got Mackenzie Gore and James Wood and C.J. Abrams, but if you take away that Juan Soto trade, where are all the prospects that we have developed? Luis Garcia Jr. is a nice story, but even then, he's pretty inconsistent. You look at guys like Kiber Ruiz, another trade that Mike Rizzo facilitated. He's been a bust. You gave him an extension. You believed in him. And I think a lot of the things with Mike Rizzo right now, yeah, it might have to do with a little bit of ownership also. But at the end of the day, the Oakland A's, they draft and they develop. The Tampa Bay Rays, terrible owners. They draft and they develop. At some point, Mike Rizzo is going to have to catch some shrapnel. Not many people are going to do it, but I've been the one to say, like, listen, Rizzo, I love him. He's a legend. Put a statue outside Nationals Park, parade around him. He's awesome. But I think it's willing to ask this question, in my opinion. The game might have passed Mike Rizzo. I don't think it's that crazy. I don't.
I mean, I think that's totally insane. Check out more information, Locked on Nationals, the podcast, for that insanity right there. I mean, we wouldn't have had a World Series without Mike Rizzo. I think you're giving him too much heat here, too much flack when it comes down to he is handcuffed by the money ownership will spend. If he was the general manager of the Yankees, of the Mets, I think we'd be talking about how fantastic of a job he's done. Ownership is screwing him here.
And you're right. And Adam, let me stop you there because you brought up a great point. Mike Rizzo, yes, you're 100% right. If you give him the money to spend, that is what Mike Rizzo does. But if you look over the years as far as drafting and developing, they had Steven Strasburg, Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon. Two of those guys were generational prospects where you and I could make that selection to take Harper and Strasburg. That was easy, no problem, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Mike Rizzo is great with savvy trades. We have seen that with getting Trey Turner back in the day and also getting rid of Juan Soto and getting Mackenzie Gore and James Wood and C.J. Abrams and a couple other pieces in there. But Mike Rizzo is not a small market GM, and the way that the Learners are operating is a small market. If you were to be in Philadelphia where you can spend that money, if you were to be in New York where you can spend that money, then yes, Mike Rizzo would be at the top of his game. But right now, it's where this ownership is. You need someone that can draft and that can develop. That's not Mike Rizzo's strong suit at this point. It's just
all right, but hot take or not, who's going to be here next year, Mike Rizzo or Davey Martinez?
I think it would be Mike Rizzo. I mean, I think Davey Martinez right now, like, honestly, I would not be totally surprised if he was still here next season. I do believe that the Nationals at this point will kind of move on from him unless something crazy happens in the second half where they can finally make a push and get around 500 where we all thought they would be this season. But I do think Mike Rizzo will be here. And as far as David Martinez go, I think he'll probably be gone. And if you were to tell me to pick one or the other, obviously I'm going to pick Mike Rizzo. But, yeah, Davey's gone, and I think Rizzo does stay.
You got 6 home games in the next 7 days. Give us your preview of this homestand against Detroit and then Boston.
Listen, Detroit is probably the best team in all of baseball at this point. And if you're the Nationals out there, follow what they have done because they were awful for nearly a decade, and they are loaded with talent, even down in the farm system. So that's a team that you're going to want to watch out for. But I do think this is going to be a really tough homestand for the Nats. You are missing Tariq Skubal, who might be the best pitcher, most dominant pitcher in all of baseball at this point. So going up against the Tigers, that's going to be tough. Like, honestly, you just hope and pray that you can take one game from them because you have an off day today. The Tigers also have an off day today. Maybe the pitching can get right and the Nationals can have their offense get hot at home. Maybe that'll just do, and we could just kind of hope and pray for that. And as far as the Red Sox go, they're kind of a deadbeat team right now. They are really sluggish right now. Their offense is getting rid of Rafael Devers. They've kind of fallen off a little bit. You do have one of the top arms in the AL with Garrett Crochet, the guy that they just traded for this past offseason. He's a monster. I think he is lined up to go against the Nationals possibly on July 4th for that 11 a.m. game. But this is going to be a big series for the Nats because, again, like the trade deadline is coming up quick. And if you're looking the way that you are right now, you're going to start considering trading off some of these veteran pieces like a Kyle Finnegan, like a Nathaniel Lowe. So these guys, they're going to have to step it up and play really good baseball and hopefully win 4 of these 6 games at home.
Yeah, I think Finnegan's gone. I think he's gone.
So too.
Yeah. Lastly, before we let you go, James Wood walked 4 times for the first time in a baseball game since Barry Bonds. Feels like he should be an all-star. It should be a starter. He's been incredible. You know, him and Mackenzie Gore are really the two guys that are worth talking about on the Nats team right now. But your thoughts on James Wood, man?
James Wood is, I mean, you can, I mean, I'll even throw C. James in that conversation for you there. But James Wood, man, I mean, this is one of the best hitters that the Nationals will see. And we've seen a ton of great hitters come out through this system here. You think of Bryce Harper winning the MVP. You think of Juan Soto and all the things that he did for the Nationals. You think of Anthony Rendon and James Wood. He is certainly in that conversation. And heck, he might even be one of the better hitters than those three guys in that. I mean, he is that good at this point. And the way that it has clicked so fast for him, like we talked about Juan Soto and what he did early on in his career, I think what James Wood is doing is as impressive as what Juan Soto is doing. Because if you look at it, Juan Soto had protection in this lineup. James Wood, he's getting protected by Keibert Ruiz. I could hit better than Keibert Ruiz at this point, if we're just being honest. Like, listen, James Wood is a star, man. He has no protection. As we saw yesterday, the Angels said, that guy, that 6'7" monster in the batter's box, he's not going to beat us. We're going to put him on base four times. We haven't seen that since 2004 with Barry Bonds. So this guy's a special talent. I'm not going to take him for granted. Anytime we can go out to watch James Wood, I will be there, and I hope a lot of Nationals fans will also.
That's Ryan Clary from Locked On Nationals, the podcast. Thanks a lot, bud.
Of course, Adam. I'll see you soon.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on by, grab a beer, and check out the show. Take an extended lunch break on a Monday. You deserve it here on a Monday, June 30th. It's Burger Night, back like it never left. From 3 p.m. to midnight, get a cheeseburger for $2.95, or add bacon and beer cheese like I like to do for $3.95. You know, Stub, I have tried to convince my girlfriend to watch some of my favorite movies, and she's denied me. I told you guys before, I tried to make her watch Spaceballs. That was a mistake. She keeps clowning me for putting that movie on, even though I think it's a classic, and Spaceballs 2, is they're working on it. So I kind of leaned away from just showing her my favorite movies, and now I'm showing her my favorite directors and letting her pick the film. So I did rewatch a classic from about 2 or 3 years ago this weekend. It's the lead story on Netflix.
Netflix. The best of streaming services, TV, movies, books, podcasts, and more. We've got you covered on Netflix.
So I believe we talked about this when this movie came out in 2022. Drama coming-of-age story directed by Steven Spielberg, written by Steven Spielberg. It's called The Fabelmans. Now, Stubb, I you know how much I love that film. I also think super depressing, but also kind of a real insight into Steven Spielberg, into what it takes to make a motion picture, how somebody kind of falls in love with making movies. So I rewatched that with my girlfriend. I think it is so good. It really grips you. There's so many scenes in it that remind you of Back to the Future, remind you of Jaws, remind you of some of the other movies that he's made or been involved with that have made him such a spectacular filmmaker.
Spielberg was not involved in Back to the Future.
He was involved in Back
what
to the Future.
Did he do?
Yes, he was. I promise you that. And so you have that element in Back to the Future of when there's a fight in the high school scene in The Fabelmans. But there's just so many good scenes in that movie. You kind of fall in love with the characters. And I fell in love with the guy who plays Sam Fabelman, Gabriel LaBelle. And I'm going to say this right now. I think he's going to become an A-list actor. An A-list actor. He's 21 years old. I can already see star power in his future. He was the star of Snack Shack. I loved that movie. He was really good as Lorne Michael in the Saturday Night film. This kid, Gabriel LaBelle, is going to be a star. I don't think he's very attractive, and we'll see if maybe that holds him back from being like a Miles Turner that becomes an A-list actor all of a sudden real quick with a couple of good movies or... you know, the guy that was in Twisters, how he's been in everything recently.
Glenn Powell.
Gabriel LaBelle. Remember that name. He's going to become an A-lister in the next 3 or 4 years. I think he's a star. And now he's already had some huge roles. Like I said, he was Lorne Michael in the friggin' Saturday Night movie. Not sure how many people, you know, really watched that, but I thought he was terrific. And I've seen him kind of grow in some of these roles. I thought he was really good as a kid in The Fabelmans. But he can play an older role. And, you know, he's 21 years old. And I think he's going to be a star. I think Gabriel LaBelle will be a star. That's my hot take on Netflix.
I'm hip, dude. I saw him in Fabelmans and Saturday Night. And I think he's fantastic. He's got the emotional beats down. I really also hope to see more from him.
Absolutely. I mean, he's one of my favorites. What did you want to bring up on Netflix today?
All right, I got a little game/topic for you. We talk a lot about streaming or waiting for things to go to the theater. I got the 10 biggest blockbusters coming out this summer, and I want you to tell me if you're going to go out to the theater, stream it, or skip it.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to start with Jurassic World Rebirth.
Skip it. I mean,
skipping it. Whoa.
Just like, please, please, please save your money, kids. Save your money. Jurassic World hasn't been good in like 20 years. None of these new installments have been any good at all. Stay away.
That Scarlett Johansson looks stunning in this movie.
I'm a big Scarlett Johansson fan.
All of a sudden, he's going to the theater.
No. Come on now. She's 40 now. I got my eyes on younger women.
All right. Interesting. Okay, next up, Superman.
Yes, 1,000%. Might even see it opening night. I've been waiting for this.
All right.
I am a massive fan of all things Superman, but especially now that we've got my Marvel man on board with DC with James Gunn. I've talked about how much I love James Gunn and his movies, and even his TV show I liked, The Creature Commandos. So I've been waiting for Superman. You know, I've heard some talk that people think that he's doing too much with this Superman because there's going to be like 30 characters he's introducing, all the villains, Lex Luthor, his parents. I just think he's going to do it right, and I love that the super dog is involved. I think
Crypto.
Crypto. I can't wait. Superman, absolutely see it in theaters. It'll be the movie of the summer.
Okay, I like this take. I want to preface my answer to all these are theater. Next up, Megan 2.0.
Mathregan 2.0.
No, skip it.
And I'm mad they're making that movie. Because the first one was not good.
It made money.
It made money. Yeah.
No, the first one's bad.
You know what? It's like there's a lot of things that make money that aren't good. what else you got for me?
The Smurfs. with starring Rihanna.
No.
I'm there.
Rihanna's in that movie?
I'm there.
Yeah, Rihanna's in that movie. It's all animated, but...
So this was the 2011 movie. They're making another one?
They're making another one.
Okay. I think this is not like a Smurfs 2. It's just Smurfs.
They did do a Smurfs 2.
I did really enjoy watching the Smurfs as a kid. You guys don't know what it was like to watch little blue people running around.
I watched Boomerang. Okay, I watched
What is Boomerang?
It was... Cartoon Network owned it. They aired all the old shows, like Hanna-Barbera stuff, and the Smurfs. I watched it all the time.
All right. When did they re-air that? Because I'm not aware of that.
It's just a constant loop of older shows from like Hanna-Barbera age. Yeah.
Right.
That's why I grew up watching all that.
But did you ever read the Smurfs book?
No, I did not read the Smurfs book.
All right. What do you got? What's next?
Freakier Friday.
Absolutely. 1,000% all in on that. That is,
all right, I've been waiting. Watch?
I feel like I've been waiting 20 years for them to make this movie.
Wow, didn't know you were a Freaky Friday guy.
Oh, yeah. And it's not even Lindsay Lohan. I am a massive Jamie Lee Curtis fan. Lee Curtis is super underrated, super attractive, too. Like, that's a 66 year old woman I'd like to go on a date with. I am.
Scarlett Johansson? What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. No, ScarJo's over. I'm bringing back Jamie Lee Curtis. Give me her eating yogurt. I'm all in.
All right. Next up, we're going to go with Nobody 2. I don't know if you're hip to the first Nobody movie, the Bob Odenkirk action.
Yeah. Nobody 2, I thought, is already in theaters right now or available to watch on Peacock. No?
No. This is a mid-July release.
Yeah. It's like nobody that I know watched the first Nobody, so nobody that I know is excited for Nobody 2.
So, streaming or complete skip?
I would have to watch the first one.
Okay.
Maybe I'll stream the first one, and if it's any good, I'll stream the second one.
Okay. All right. This one, it did come out last week, but it's still in theaters. Pixar's Elio, the newest Pixar movie. I think he meets aliens in space.
I feel like Pixar has just fallen off completely.
Yeah.
They need to go back to their original stuff. Wasn't Cars Pixar, right?
I mean,
what happened? They've just completely fallen off. Have they had any good movies recently? I guess I did like Soul a few years
ago. Yeah, that's probably the best thing they've made in a while. Wall-E Ratatouille was their peak, and we haven't gotten even close since.
Yeah. Why is everybody's telling me that Ratatouille's like trending again recently, and I didn't understand why. But it's like showing up all over TikTok and Twitter. I love that movie so much. It's just... And I really think that, like, cooking movies are so in right now. Cooking TV shows also.
Yeah,
like, The Bear. So, yeah, I mean, if you like cooking shows... I mean, Nona, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. My mom got upset that I was living with a Nona, and she said, I'm going to get the authentic stuff. She's in Italy right now, sending me pictures of her eating rigatoni, going to the beach. I know, I'm so jealous. If I sent you a photo of this meal that she is having right now... You might have to leave the show. It's that good.
Yeah. All right, three more. This one's also in theaters right now. F1 with Brad Pitt.
Yes, I want to see it.
Yep. Are you going to catch it in theaters, or is you going to wait till it hits?
Yeah, I'm going to go see it in theaters.
All right, cool. All right, Fantastic Four.
No.
No? Just not at all?
No, it's just so unfantastic. When this is like the fifth one they've made in my lifetime. But I want to say this about F1. I'm going to see F1 not for Brad Pitt. Going to see it for Damson Idris. That's my guy.
Okay.
Who was the star of Snowfall. When I was working in D.C., Snowfall came to visit PGC, and I actually got to interview Damson Idris. And Snowfall was so fantastic. The sad news is it was written and directed by John Singleton, who did pass away in 2019. But he did Shaft, he did Baby Boy, he did Four Brothers, he did Boys in the Hood, what made him super famous. And so I'm hoping... this movie is going to be good because I am a big fan of Damson Idris.
All right, and the last one I got for you is the Naked Gun reboot.
No, it's so annoying. I said this joke before, right? Leslie Nielsen over Liam Neeson every day of the week. They got the wrong LM to play this movie. I would have rather them used AI
guy. That would be worse.
I'm not excited for this.
Akiva Schaffer, Lonely Island guys, directing it.
Well, yeah.
I have decent. The trailers have had some jokes that have made me laugh.
But just make something original.
I know, but we get what we get, dude.
Coming back. I mean, this is not the 80s anymore. Half the jokes aren't even going to work. Can you get O.J. Simpson? Nope, you can't.
They did a joke. They did that joke.
I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, Superman, and then Freakier Friday, just for the jokes that you get Lindsay Lohan back in, on actions on the big screens. But, yeah, Superman's the only movie I'm excited for this summer. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. Hokie Steve joins us next from Capital Ale House here in Innsbruck.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.